Welcome
to another fantastic episode
of Imamiisms.
Today's episode is very special, isn't it?
Very.
As are most of our episodes, to be fair.
Today's episode is about the one, the only, the untouchable Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, guys.
We also have my former roommate and fellow Swiftie, Allison, guest starring today.
Guest starring again.
She was on the Friends episode.
Yeah. So, ready? Are you ready for it?
Nice.
Thank you. I try.
Allison, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Allison. I've been on this podcast before. Let's see. I met Z freshman year, and we've been best friends ever since. And now I live in D.C. for a little bit doing some research at NIH.
She left me. Dude, I'm not happy about it, but whatever.
Yeah, you know what happens, adulting.
So upset. Okay, so Sabria is the one who usually does the prep, and I just go along with it.
But this time neither of us have done anything.
So we're just here to have a conversation.
Oh, that's so fun.
Let's start with, what is your first Taylor Swift memory? I remember mine, clearly, for some reason.
I kind of have two that go along with it, I guess. So I think the first Taylor Swift song I ever heard was Teardrops on My Guitar. Mind you, we were 8 when this came out, I believe. We were very young. I did not like that song. I remember hearing it on the radio, and I would always turn it off, or I would ask my mom to turn it off because I was still in the back seat because I'm so tiny. Couldn't be in the front seat yet. And then I remember I checked out her album from the library when that was a thing that we had to do instead of streaming. And I remember, like, I sat and I put the disc in my little CD player that came with, like, my Barbie car. I don't know why this came with a Barbie car. It was pretty cool. That's my first Taylor Swift memory, is, like, sitting and listening to her debut album. Yeah.
Do you remember yours?
I don't know if this is my first memory, but one of the very earliest memories that I have, so I had to have listened to the song before this, but I don't remember actually the first time I listened to it. But I remember in elementary school, I was like thinking or like singing Love Story. And I remember I got to the part about Scarlet Letter. And one of my friends was like, you shouldn't say that. Like, that's bad. And I was like, what? I was like, what could possibly be bad about that? And I don't think I ever looked it up or anything like that. But I remember for like a long time after that, I was like, I probably shouldn't say that part out loud because it's like a bad thing to say. And now I'm like, okay, well, there are worse things than songs now. So
I was in fifth grade gym class.
Wow.
And one of my friends was talking about Taylor Swift and was talking about Love Story and singing it. And I'm like, okay, I'll look it up later. I wasn't allowed to go on YouTube when I was that age. I wasn't allowed to do anything. So yeah. I had to go on AOL Kids and had to go find under artists. I went to Taylor Swift and I saw Love Story through that. And so I remember watching that for the first time. And then fast forward, like I was listening to that album. And then I remember in sixth grade, the first time I ever stayed home alone, I was watching the You Belong With Me music video. Wow. So that's what I associate that with. It's a very like growing time, yeah, and like important time in my life.
The Fearless, you know, album was like, I think at the right age, like for you, but I was a little bit younger, but that, mm-hmm, was like the epitome of like the Fearless, yes, vibe too. Yes. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
I feel old.
I know. I was listening to some of her older albums, like, in prep for this, because I've just been obsessed with her latest ones. I haven't revisited her older ones. And I was like, oh, my God, like, she sounds so young. And then I remember how young I was when I was listening to it. Not that I'm old now, but, like, just, like, so little and, like, couldn't relate to anything she was singing about at all, but still loved all the songs.
We were listening in the car to like all, like I just put Taylor Swift on shuffle and it was Superman. And I'm like, I cannot believe that this is the same person. Mm-hmm. But like, if you listen to it, it's like she has the same, like it sounds like her, but also it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's different lyrically and audibly. And I'm just, mm-hmm, like, what is life? even. You know?
So existential as per usual. Mm-hmm.
I like associate different Taylor, like, you know how she does eras, obviously. Yeah. I associate different
Taylor. She doesn't just do eras. She's the one who invented the era, mm-hmm. just in case anyone is wondering.
But I, like, associate different eras with different times in my life, mm-hmm. too. So it's basically, like, I have...
Oh, for sure.
Exactly.
It's basically, like, you are
Taylor
Swift. Basically, like, I'm Taylor Swift. That's what I was going for. But, like, what do you associate the different... Like, how old are you when the things came out? What do you associate the eras with in your life?
Oh, I remember, okay, I feel like Fearless was the biggest era because I feel like that was when all my friends were also listening to her and also loved all her music. I remember, like, every sleepover I went to, we would listen to her album. I remember, like, all the birthday parties, like, all the girls would, like, act out Love Story and, like, get down, propose to each other. I feel like the Fearless album is, like, the most, like, the epitome of an era. To me, almost, or like at least a time in my life personally. And then I think the next one will probably be like 1989 was a huge moment because that was when we were graduating high school, I think, mm-hmm. Or close to it at least. And so I associate that with like just driving around, especially like I ran track in high school, which meant I would be getting back at like 11 o'clock at night sometimes. So I just remember, like, putting on, like, Style and, like, driving home in the dark. And it's just such a mood. And then Reputation, obviously, is just, like, college. Like, and then even Lover. Lover was our senior year of college. And that was fun because Z and I would go drive around and listen to Lover, especially, like, in the fall when it was still nice out in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then quarantine. Yeah. I think the same thing for Fearless, because that was like
right when everyone knew her, kind mm-hmm. of.
But because I just remember being like 11, mm-hmm. and that's what I remember for that. And then Speak Now was the first I bought that CD, and so we always listened to that one. And I remember that was like middle school also, and I would wake up early, and before like going to the bus stop, I would watch TV and they were playing like music videos when they did that. And like mine was always playing.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, I remember watching the premiere for Mine, the My Music video, back when that was like a huge deal to do. And she was in Maine, I think, for it. And it was like, I sat and watched the whole half hour special just to watch the 3-minute music video at the end.
But no, I love music videos yeah. still. And then, yes, thank you. I sang Story of Us in my 7th grade talent show. Thank you, Sabria. I did not need that to be memorialized.
It's like, literally.
Where is this?
No, not 15.
God, destroyed.
We have it. I'll send
no.
it to you.
Please send it. I didn't know this was a thing. It's oh, my God. This years. Is so exciting.
Like, literally 10 years later, Zana was finally able to listen to the song without cringing.
My mom called me chicken. And yeah. I was like, I am not a chicken. So I had to go do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Speak Now is middle school. I remember Red, but not as well. I just like remember the singles. Singles. The yeah. singles were a big deal.
And Target, because she was in the Target yes. commercial doing
yes.
Red.
Yeah.
And then yes. 1989, because that was like between junior and senior year, we went to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
That, let me tell you, 1989 was the soundtrack to my life when I peaked. And so whenever I listen
to don't say you're one of those people that peaked in high school.
I am. But it's like whenever I hear 1989, I just think of that. Mm. And I was like, wow. And it was just like a happy time. So like I always associate that. Oh my God. I remember the first time I heard Style. I was it was snowing and I was on my way to ACT prep class. And I was like, this is Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I remember actually about the 1989 concert, one of my friends texted me and asked, she was like, oh, a couple of us are going, like, do you want to come? And I was like, of course. And I hadn't actually even listened to 1989 at that point, but I was like, Taylor Swift, like, why not? And I remember I went to our parents and my dad was like, no. And I was like, well, why? I was like, they're offering to take me, they're offering to do everything. And he wouldn't tell us. And then this was right around Mother's Day. Do you remember? Cause then we went to go get mama a Mother's Day gift.
I think I was driving.
You were driving. And in the car, I kept bugging him. I was like, why won't you just let me go? Like, why won't you tell me? And then finally he got so fed up. I remember you were driving, it was raining. And then he was like, we already got tickets. Oh, And I remember you were driving and you kept looking like, wait, are you for real? And so I remember that. And I remember that I didn't even listen to the full album before the concert because I was like, this is weird. Like, is that what you do? Is that not what you do? You had listened to
it. I listened to all of it.
And so when I was actually there, I didn't know all of the songs. I knew the singles. I knew the old ones and stuff like that. And granted, like a lot of the songs from 1989 were singles. So I knew a lot of them. But I would say, like, for me, as great of a concert experience as that was, I think the Taylor Swift concert was the Reputation.
Right. So I was going to say, Reputation came out sophomore year. Do you remember that? Because it didn't get released on Apple Music at first. And so Sabrina and I
I ordered the album.
Yes. Sabrina and I were freaking out at like midnight
in your dorm or something.
And I was like, Sabrina, where is this? It's not showing up for me. And then it was past 10 o'clock. And
it was past midnight.
Yes. But I wasn't allowed to call home past 10 o'clock. And I was like, Sabrina, you have to go ask them if we can buy it. I am not waiting. So she had to go wake up our parents, ask if we could buy it. We bought it. And then we listened to all of it.
And then like 2 weeks later, it was on Apple Music.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to wait for that.
I know. I understand.
And then concert where we saw you.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. So my first concert person is actually Speak Now. I've been to every single one of her tours except for Fearless because we couldn't get tickets to Fearless because I think that was when she was like small, but also like just blew up. So she was still in like small arenas and then like everyone wanted her tickets still. Same issues as later, but like I was more on top of it later since I understood how to get concert tickets when I was older. But that was so fun because I went to Reputation Tour with a different friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And then Z and Sabria were sitting like directly across the stadium from us. Like I think like even like similar rows and everything.
Yeah, it was
too.
Literally directly across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We ran into each other at the bathroom.
Yeah.
Of all places.
And outside. Remember that? We were waiting in line. Yeah, we saw each other twice.
Oh my God. I was wearing black lipstick. Do you remember that? It was like,
I do. Yeah, it was iconic. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, but also, have you ever before or ever since?
No, but Reputation required black lipstick. Okay. And then Lover came out
I remember
between junior and senior year.
I stayed up. Yes. I listened to the whole album once in my bed at midnight.
I
remember as I listened to each song, I sent you the ones and I was like, Santa, like this one. And like, eventually I realized I sent her like almost the entire album song by song. So I was like, oh, she'll like this one. Oh, she'll like this one. I think I literally did send you maybe three.
I think
like
so.
That.
But I remember, cause I worked the morning. So I like had to drive to Ann Arbor and went to work. And then after work, I listened to them all. And I was like, yes. Cause I heard, because I did it in order and then Cruel Summer came on and I was like, oh my gosh. And then it was like The Man came on and I was like, heck yes.
Cruel Summer is like, I can't even put into words how
Cruel
much.
Summer is the perfect pop song in my opinion. It is lyrically one of her best, like sound wise one of her best. Collaborators on point with that, like St. Vincent's playing guitar on it. Like it makes you feel so many things, I feel like. I just feel so, like, anger and angst when I listen to Cruel Summer, I feel like.
I think it's a real travesty that it didn't get to be a single. It was, I had the belief that it was going to be the final single of Lover, if not one of the final ones.
If we didn't have a real Cruel Summer.
Exactly. If there wasn't a literal, actual Cruel Summer. Also, I remember when You Need to Calm Down came out, it was the day of my graduation. I was in the car driving to graduation and she did an Instagram live and that was when she announced that she was releasing Lover. And I remember I was in the car, mom was driving, you guys were all coming later, and I remember being, I was like, oh my god. And she totally thought I'd like forgot something at home, and I was like, Taylor Swift just announced that she's releasing her new album. And then that night at midnight was when You Need to Calm Down came out, and I had my senior all night party and we were staying up all night. And I remember we were at the bowling alley and everybody was playing, all my friends were like doing whatever, and I like literally went to a corner to go listen to the song, and that was how I spent my night.
I also remember the beginning of senior year when we went to the mall and Target and we were just listening to Lover on full, like in your car. And so like I always associate Lover with you. And a couple weeks ago I was driving
what an honor
I was driving home from work and Death by a Thousand Cuts came on. And I called you and you didn't answer me, but I called you and I was just like,
okay, I was busy doing something. I was probably cooking. I don't know.
But I was like, I just heard the song and I was thinking about you and stuff like that, because it's the, I asked the traffic lights if it'll be all right. And so I always think of you with that part. And so there's Lover.
And that's one of my favorite lines. It's like,
I know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how I am, though. Like, I used to do that. I was like, oh, other people do this? Of course other people do it. But it's weird to hear it a song by such a big artist.
That is, yeah. Like,
do you guys ever do that?
You're this Taylor Swift song, and I thought of you. Like, that is a love language.
kind of, yeah. Especially Death by a Thousand Cuts. It's such a good one.
Mm-hmm. Such a good one. I like, tricky. Every time I hear Story of Us, I think of you.
Now that's going to be me. Yeah. I just need to hear it.
When I hear 22, I think of all of you.
That's a good one.
Right? And then Folklore came out in July. Folklore was not my sound. That was just not.
Lyrically, it was one of
Folklore
her
was.
Albums, I know.
Lyrically, I think it might be her best album. I think lyrically it is.
Yeah. It's just, it wasn't like.
Folklore is more my vibe now. Mm-hmm. I definitely listen to more of that type of music, I think. So I was just so ecstatic to hear that she was releasing a folk-ish album.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, do you remember?
My cup of tea.
You came over. We were on my driveway and we were talking about it. Like the day, because she announced because she like announced it. And then you came over the day she announced it, but before the album was released.
The next night.
Or yes.
Next-
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was coming out that night, because I remember, because that was my last day in Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. and I stopped at your house on the way back, and then I was like, okay, I gotta listen to it tonight, and then Kala wanted to listen to it with me, so we did like a virtual listening party to listen to it. I remember you saying like, oh God, like I don't think I'm gonna like it, like, yeah.
And then
I remember that midnight you stayed up for
I stayed
that
up
one.
For that one,
and I remember we watched the Cardigan like, music video, and what? Daddy stayed up and watched it with us, and he was like, this album's not gonna be good, and then it ends up being like objectively her best album of all time, like definitely, I mean, don't want to jinx it, but like, will it win album of the year at the Grammys? Like, probably. And he's like, this is gonna be such a bad album, and then it existed, and then Evermore happened.
Yeah, there's a reason we don't listen to his music advice or taste.
Although he started listening to her
what
song.
What's his favorite album? Does he have one?
1989. And his favorite song off of it
That's
is definitely
a good choice.
Blank Space.
He knows all the words to Blank Space.
He knows
Space.
More of the words than Xanab does.
It's hilarious.
He doesn't know all the lyrics to any song.
The bar is that
Although when we were listening to him the other day, you knew the words, and I was very surprised.
More than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And then Evermore.
Yeah. And I stayed awake and listened to that.
I zonked out. I had work, I think.
I no, think I Evermore is like a cross between 1989 and Folklore, which are the strangest albums to cross between hers, I think. But it worked. I mean, it worked so well.
I liked Evermore a lot more than I liked Folklore. It just sounds.
I can't decide. I like, sonically, I like Evermore more, I think. But lyrically, I like Folklore more, I would say.
That's fair.
It's hard for me to pick, because I enjoy lyrics a lot.
Yeah.
That's like, when I listen to her albums, like when I listen to the whole album all the way through the first time, I always look at the album or the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think of you for Nobody, No Crime also. I don't know if that's weird, but
that's a bigger compliment. That's no one can top that. That is so good.
What was I about to say?
I kind of summed up both of our experiences.
With Evermore?
No, with all of them.
Oh, I mean, that's okay. I was just talking to you. I was going to say, so we talked about our relationship with Taylor Swift. Should we just talk about, like, her as a human being icon that she is? I mean,
oh, before we get to there, let me brag on your behalf a little bit. Remember how Sabria almost went viral for writing about Taylor Swift?
I do remember that, because I Googled Taylor Swift and Sabria's article was the first one. Now Google probably knows that I went to the University of Michigan and that I probably know who Sabria is, but we will forget about that and just say Sabria was number one on Google when you looked up Taylor Swift for a little bit.
Right. That was the surrealist experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And I've decided that if I ever meet her, I'm going to just be like, not even embarrassed and be like, by the way, I wrote this about you. Please read it and tell people about it.
You should copy and carry it with you everywhere just in case you run into her.
Have her in Michigan, just run into her in Ann Arbor.
Exactly. But yeah, let's talk about Taylor Swift as an icon.
Elise would be so happy that this is the discussion we're having. I think one of the coolest things about her, I mean, like, obviously I love the music and the eras and like the way that she is as a person, but I think one of the coolest things about her is the relationship that she has with her fans. I mean, I think that there is no other artist probably in the world that like has like friendships with their fans, like the secret sessions and like just being on Tumblr and like being talking to her fans on Tumblr. She sends people money if they're in need of it and stuff like that. And then I remember in back when 1989 era, she did Swiftmas where she sent her fans Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, how can that not be like the best, basically the best person, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she was very, I will say, like, I think that Taylor Swift really played her cards right with, like, how the music was going with that time, because I almost feel bad for artists now and fans now, because I feel like with streaming, you kind of lack that same connection, because it's like you were saying, where, like, the secret sessions were such a big thing, and then, like, going and, like, picking up her album, like, the next, or, like, the day it came out was such a big event because you couldn't get it on streaming. And I feel like that's how she built, like, a lot of her fan base, honestly. It was based off those experiences that you can't really replicate now because of streaming.
I remember she used at least to buy her album the day it came out at Target, and, like, people would be there,
yeah,
there with her fans, like, taking pictures and stuff like that. And like, yeah, it was just, it's very cool. I mean, obviously, like, we never got to see her, but that wasn't
yeah. I was going to bring up like all of the stuff that she's done in the last like couple years, or she's been through and then done because of it. Through the last couple years. So like Scott Borchetta and Scooter.
Borchetta.
I don't know. I feel like his last name should be Borchetta. Just
that's a food. I've told you.
I know, but Borchetta is not a word.
Most names are words.
Okay, him and Scooter Braun, and they suck.
Kanye.
And Kanye. It's okay. Kanye's getting, his karma's coming back.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
And then just like her Miss Americana documentary. And just, like, where she's at now with, like,
I think, like, going along with that, so she was, like, the all-American girl. She was Miss Americana during the 1989 era. Like, that was when everyone knew her, everyone loved her, she was everywhere, you know what I mean? And then everything happened with Kim and Kanye, and, like, everyone turned on her so fast. And then, you know, Reputation happened. Basically, everything since then has been her being, like, look, like, this all happened to me, but the people who like me and who actually care about what I do, they've never left. And like, that was everyone from her like family, but also the fans and stuff like that. And I just think that goes to show that like the Swiftie, being a Swiftie is very powerful. That was one of the things they said when my article went viral. Elise was like, we have the Swifties, like that's what it happened. And I was mm-hmm. like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very true. And it annoys me now that like all that stuff happened so long ago, like at least a few years ago, and like still like when like Folklore and Evermore came out, they're like, there's so many articles saying like, oh, this lyric must be about Kim and Kanye, and like this lyric must about, and it's just like, I doubt she's still carrying that weight in her songwriting, or like I doubt she cares that much anymore about like at least the Kim and Kanye drama, like when are we all just gonna drop it? And even if she still is writing about it, like who cares, like just move on. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
I love the fact that every time she does, like, every time somebody or some people or the world, like, tries to knock her down, she uses it to build her, like, the whole snake thing.
That's what I said in my article.
And then, like, all of the,
how she doesn't have control over her masters, and now she's like, she doesn't even put her name on the albums because mm-hmm. she owns all of it, and like her re-recordings, like yeah. she's going to do all of that, and she's going to
kill it.
Exactly.
It's very much like everything somebody says she can't do or she won't do, like she's just like, okay, like watch me. And like that's literally what happened.
Wait. Like Speak Now, like yeah. every, like she wrote Speak Now all by herself because everyone was like, there's no way she's writing this, like mm-hmm. it's really just her co-writers that are leading the ideas, and she was like, no, I can write, look at me, I just wrote an entire album by myself.
And then like people were like, oh, all she could ever do is country, and then 1989 happened, and they were like, oh, all she could ever do is be like a cookie cutter pop princess, and then Folklore and Evermore happened. And it's like anytime you say something against her, she hears it and then she uses it and just becomes more successful because of it.
So then the question is, why do people keep doubting her? And like, why do people ever?
Because sexism, let's be honest, it's sexism. Yeah. I read this very interesting article. I don't remember who wrote it or like what magazine or newspaper it was in, but it was just about... But it was about like how, especially with like Folklore and Evermore, like, people are still so mad, like they won't accept that like her sound is alternative now or like folky, because it's like, no, like she can't be, she's taking away that, like, you know, hipster, like, I don't know, just try and be different. And it's like, no, we can't let her have this. Or like even with pop, it's like people wanted to refuse that she was like really good pop artist, you know, like 1989 is probably one of the best pop albums that's come out in like the past decade, I would say, at least. So it's like very interesting how like people just keep putting her in a box, and like no matter what she does, like everyone's always just like, oh, you're faking it, like, yeah, you just came out with two like alternative indie albums, but like it's just a phase, or like it's not real, or it was just like all her co-producers like are the reason behind it, and like she could never be an indie artist and stuff like that,
which is
very interesting.
Fake news. I mean, it's just a and like going with that, people, whenever like people hear me being like, oh, I like Taylor Swift, they're always like, oh, like you like you're a Taylor Swift fan, like do you even
yes.
know?
Yes, and I'm
like,
am. Yes, I am.
Like, do you even know? Like,
honestly, I was gonna say, some of our friends even like won't listen to her, which is so frustrating to me, because it's like, first of all, there's a whole issue with people thinking that pop music isn't good music, which is totally wrong. First of all, yes, there is some pop music that isn't good, but that's with every genre. And just because you like to listen primarily to pop music doesn't mean that you don't have good music taste. But also, like, she's a really good artist. And if you actually sat down and listened to, like, a full album, like, any one of her albums, honestly, like, there's some nugget in there that I think people would enjoy. And also, she has such a wide variety of albums now that I feel like there's some niche for everyone mm-hmm. to listen to her, or at least give her a shot now.
Right. I think part of the reason why people are like that is because they only hear her singles. Singles are never the best of the album.
She's weeding out the people.
Exactly.
Like the people who deserve.
People are always, all the people are always like, oh, that like everyone hates her songs and they only listen to the singles, and then the Swifties are like, well, who cares, because those songs that the Swifties listen to, like, those are for us, they're not for the public who doesn't care.
That's literally what I just said. Well, it just got simpler.
Okay.
Look at All Too Well, like a bunch of like, remember like all those like top songs of like the decade and stuff like that, All Too Well was like in the top 10 at least for like most critics' choices, which I think speaks a lot. Not that critics always are like, you know, gotta go by what the critics say, but I think it just speaks volumes that so many critics have said, look at Taylor Swift's song All Too Well, it's one of the best songs ever written and produced mm-hmm. in the past decade. But like everyone I talk to like hasn't heard it unless they're like a Swiftie,
yeah.
which is absurd.
And actually Rolling Stone, like over quarantine, they did like the 500 best albums of all time. And Red was in the top 100 and 1989 was in like the somewhere in the 500s. And I think she was like one of the only artists that had multiple albums in there. And like they had a podcast episode actually with her on there
talking yeah. about
Red. And
I listened to that.
Yeah, and she was like, I was so glad when I heard that like the one that you wanted to talk about was Red, because it's like the one that
people, like, I guess people overlook it, even though it's,
it didn't get the recognition it deserved because of, like,
the Grammy snub
and, like, just the, again, people think Taylor Swift is.
Well, but and that was, like, the tough transition for her, too, where it was, like, she was trying to get into pop, but, like, her label wouldn't let her fully do pop, and they were, like, no, you still need to put some country or country-ish songs on this album. Even I feel like I look back and I never pick Red to go listen to, but it's, like, if you actually do have it on, it's fantastic. It's, like, a really nice mix of songs. I will say it's probably, like, her least sonically cohesive, but that doesn't mean that's a worse album.
Actually, she did that for a reason. It's not supposed to sound the same because it's all about Red, like, the color and how it can represent all these different things. So even that, like, she's thinking about every single aspect of every single thing that she does.
Oh, yeah, she's the queen of every single detail has to mean something, so... Yeah.
And just the fact that the ACMs this year were, like, the most watched, what was the most watched award show, because of the fact she came back to country because she wanted to and performed Betty live for the first time. I think that's hilarious.
And the AMAs had her be Artist of the Decade. And I was like, that says so much, because, like, the previous Artist of the Decade was what, like,
was it Michael Jackson? No, those were the other awards.
It was like Garth Brooks or something. Or maybe that was for the ACMs. I don't know. Maybe something like that.
It's something like
very that. Much. Yeah. Again, with the she just, it's like, it's funny to me because it's so effortless for her. She's just like, I decided to write an album over quarantine and release it.
No, like,
and
with then, happiness. Didn't she just like, she's like, oh yeah, I wrote this last.
I wrote it the week before.
And like, that's just the way she is. Like, she just does something and it is talent. It is success just by existing.
Oh, do you want to talk about, like, Miss Americana and, like, the fact that she did all the politics, and then we can do the favorite songs?
So, like, the real Taylor Swift.
The real Taylor Swift. The Taylor
Swift. I mean, kind of,
Miss Americana came out in January or February.
Yeah, actually, it's almost
2020.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
It premiered.
A year to think about.
I just remember Only the Young.
Yeah.
And so
I was really surprised by how, like, real it was. I wasn't expecting it to be fake, but I did think it'd be more about, like, music stuff and less about, like, the real Taylor Swift. I thought it'd be sort of, like, do you remember in the 1989 World Tour movie, it has, like, the clips of her talking to the interviewer? Like, I thought it'd be like that, where it's, like, people asking her questions and she was kind of answering them. But it really was, like, a documentary where it was, as things were happening to her, they were getting filmed and stuff, or her, like, behind the scenes explaining things that had happened. And I thought it was really, like, empowering to see this huge celebrity be so vulnerable for everyone to see.
Not only that, but the fact that after so many years of people telling her, like, be unproblematic, don't insert yourself, like, you are a young girl in the music industry, like, all you have to do is sit there and look pretty, and then she, like, because after all of these years she's been through so much, she, like, now knows her worth, and she's like, I'm gonna do what I think is right,
and she did.
Forget all of you.
Yeah,
I feel like she made really good points too, and I feel like a lot of people forget that, like, celebrities weren't political, really, like, a decade ago. That was, like, a huge no-no, and, like, she brought up the really great point about, like, look at the Chicks. Look at what happened when the Chicks got political. They got blackballed by the whole industry, and they didn't get to release music, or, like, they just did it for, I don't even know how many years. So, yeah, like, I feel like that's a very powerful thing as, like, a young, like, female country star to, like, see that happen to, like, your, I mean, I think she said that the Chicks are, like, one of her favorite artists before, and to see that happen to them, and that kind of shows you, like, oh yeah, like, don't make the same mistake, otherwise your career is going to be over. I wish that she would have spoken out sooner, but I'm glad that she did at some point. With everything that happened, especially.
And I also,
but I can see how that would be hard to do, especially when, like, you don't think about all the people in the background, like, whispering in her ear to be like, don't do it. Like, this is what's going to happen if you do it.
Especially because they're supposed to, like be her advisors, I guess. And,
even,
like,
her parents,
know what's best.
Like, her dad was saying, like, don't do this. Not because
her dad.
not because of any particular, he was saying, safety. You will be in danger, physical danger you can be in if you do something like this. And she still,
but then look what happens when she speaks out. Trump was like, oh, I like her music 25% less. And we all got a sale.
Exactly. Yeah. Amazing. Everybody was like, I can't wait for him to say I like her music 100% less.
For people who don't know what happened, after Trump said he liked her music 25% less, and her store, she put everything on sale, like 25% off or something. All of her merch.
Yeah. Like, and do you remember that there's a scene in the documentary where somebody tells her, or she says, like, Trump said he, and she's like smiling and like cracking up. And I was like, that is so funny. Like, that is her genuine reaction to hearing this. She wasn't even slightly concerned about what it could have done to her. She was like, that is so funny that this literal, like, whatever he is attacking me by saying that he doesn't like my music. Like, okay, nobody cares. Yeah.
And I remember the line where someone was like, you see, she speaks out, and so all the people against her are attacking her instead of like her, like what she's saying. And so it's like they're not trying to have a conversation or argue, they're just attacking her when she has like valid points.
When she spoke out about who she thought should be elected, Tennessee. Yeah. The girl who won, who she had been speaking out against, her tweet was, I guess Taylor Swift still has bad taste in men. And I was like, this is nothing to do with her, like, really.
Are you a professional?
Literally, I was like, that is so
inappropriate.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of politics, can we take a second to appreciate both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris using Taylor Swift references in posts? Like, that was amazing.
I saw that and I was like, go old people.
The post that he did,
more so go their young interns that are definitely tweeting other
people. Yeah, but the posts that that Joe Biden did about Taylor Swift, and like that was his most liked post or something like that, and I was like, her power, literally her power. Amazing.
Okay, so let's do our favorite songs from each album.
Let me see, her debut, should have said no. Like, hands down, I love seeing that song live. Yeah. Fearless, I would say Untouchable if we're allowed to include the Platinum Edition, or 15. 15 just makes me feel very nostalgic. Yeah. Same with Fearless, like the title track.
Oh, yeah.
Speak Now, definitely Enchanted. Like, Enchanted was just, on a different level from the rest of the album, I feel like. And then Red is All Too Well, for sure. I feel like that's just like kind of a gimme for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then 1989, I think Wildest Dreams. I also like You Are In Love a lot.
Yeah, I remember you saying that when we were watching the movie. I couldn't think of a word.
Yeah. I should watch that today.
Mm-hmm. And then Reputation, Delicate like was my favorite when it came out. And then Lover, I'd have to say Cruel Summer or Death by a Thousand Cuts. The two newest albums, I have a hard time. It takes me a while to figure out a favorite, because like on Folklore, I just love, it goes, I think, Mirrorball, then Seven, and then August. And it's like, that is just such a killer, like, sequence for me. And then, like, you get to Illicit Fairs afterwards, and I love the bridge of that song. I would have to say either Mirrorball or August is my favorite from Folklore. Evermore is hard for me. I'm still, like, sitting on Evermore. I'm really drawn to Ivy. Or Champagne Problems, or Gold Rush, I think.
All of them, basically.
All of them. I'm so bad at picking favorites. I can't do it. I can't rank. I can't pick favorites. It just depends on my mood, I feel like.
That's fair. That's what I was thinking, too. Because, like, when I was half marathon training, I forgot that you existed, Cruel Summer and The Man. Those are the first three songs on the album, so that's how I started every single run. So whenever I'm in like a running mood, or I want to be in a running mood, those are the songs I play. I'm like, okay, we're gonna go. Or like, Don't Blame Me's on that.
Oh, Don't Blame Me is so good.
I did something that's on the running playlist. So it's like, I get what you mean.
And I'm trying to think about my favorites and you keep saying songs. I was like, shoot, but that's also a good one. I think if I
exactly
one from each album, should have said No from debut. I agree. And also that with on the Reputation tour, like that was so, so good.
So good.
So should have said No. From Fearless, You Belong With Me, but Love Story is such a close second. It's like, depending on my mood, that could even be the best one for me. Speak Now, definitely Enchanted. I think for Red, I love All Too Well, but I think I would actually pick The Moment I Knew from the deluxe edition. That song is so good. I love it. I don't think she even performed it as a surprise song at any of the Reputation concerts. It was just like very underrated, but it's so good, so sad. But she also sings it so like I can't help but like scream sing it a little bit, you know? That's how it is. 1989, Wildest Dreams, but Clean is a very close second. Clean is so
Clean is good. Oh my God, I forgot about Clean. Clean might be my favorite, actually. That song just hits like, oh, that bridge. She's the queen of bridges too. Definitely. For me. I don't know.
Yeah. And then Reputation, Getaway Car is my favorite one.
Getaway Car is just so fun.
So honestly, all of the Reputation songs are like any of them you could scream sing and it's an experience.
Yeah.
Lover, Cornelia Street, but Cruel Summer also. It like both of those are the equally my favorites just at different times because they're like very different songs.
And then, I also love It's Nice to Have a Friend. I know Z also hates that one because she would always try to make me skip it. And I was like, no, this is one of my favorites. We're going to listen to it. I know it's a very weird, unique song for her. And I think a lot of people don't like it. I really enjoy it.
Folklore, definitely August. And then Evermore, I think my favorite is Gold Rush. Okay. So for her debut, I think I like Our Song the most because I remember that from when I was little.
I love that music video.
The music video too.
Our Song is a good one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably her countryest song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fearless, You Belong With Me.
Yeah.
Speak Now. I remember I really liked, which one did I like?
Haunted. Haunted was fun because I was like headbanging.
Yeah. Even though I definitely didn't need to in that song.
I mean, yeah.
But I also liked Sparks Fly.
Sparks Fly was my favorite song for the longest time,
mm-hmm.
but Enchanted has edged it out.
For Red, obviously, it's 22. I will never not associate 22 with that birthday, obviously.
I mean,
and that was, like, a fantastic birthday because of it, so that's my
favorite.
You're welcome. 1989, Style.
Shocker.
I wish you would.
Clean.
Just all of them.
All of 1989.
Reputation, I think, okay, I like So It Goes, but I also like Call It What You Want. I loved Call It What You Want.
Call It What You Want is really, really good. It's really totally good. Different vibe than the other songs, mm-hmm. too.
Lover, Cruel Summer, The Man, and Miss Americana. Do you like how I'm giving three for me?
Was me. It's too hard.
From Folklore, I think Illicit Affairs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe none of us said Betty, actually.
Betty's I was about to say so Betty. Good. I was like, I think Betty's also up there.
Yeah.
I remember listening to Betty for the first time when I was on a run, and I'm like, this was not the right thing, because I was like crying and running. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then Evermore, I like Gold Rush, No Body, No Crime, and Ivy, I think, the most.
And Long Story Short.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
they're all just good.
Yeah. I feel like Gold Rush and No Body, No Crime I can dance to, but Ivy, I'm like associating with this point of my life, and I just like
Ivy's so medieval.
Right?
And I do, and it's such a weird way to describe a song, but it really just is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ivy is like the most cottagecore song ever made, I think. Remember. Like it just transports me into the middle of a forest and I'm going into my like stone cottage and I don't even know. It's a vibe.
I just think it's such a pretty song, but it's like such a heartbreaking story.
Yeah.
But I'm
she does that all the time. All you had to do was stay. Literally such a sad song, but it's so dancey. I wish you would. Death by a Thousand Cuts. Like when you hear it, you're like, oh, this is so fun. And then you like hear it and you're like, oh, this is devastating. Yeah. So I guess we're sticking with the top three from every album. I'm not surprised. It worked.
Yeah, we're fine. We'll be fine.
Okay. Any last remarks on Taylor Swift for now?
Oh, gosh, there's so much I could say. I feel like anyone who appreciates music should just like look into like how her and like Jackie Antonoff, for example, like make the songs. Because I feel like that will give you like a whole new appreciation of her and her music to all the naysayers, mostly our friends that might listen to this. I'm talking to you, Andreas.
I think now we should go watch the 1989 World Tour movie.
Remember? I might go watch Reputation.
Have a Taylor Swift day. Watch that, then Reputation, then Long Pond. Just do it all.
Yeah, that's what we did last
year.
There you go. For 2019.
Yeah.
We rang 2019 in by watching Reputation.
Yeah, because it came out on New Year's Eve, and then we watched it on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah.
We can stop recording this.
So to all you haters out there who have these wrong opinions about Taylor Swift, look what you made us do.
We're just gonna shake it off.
Long story short, Taylor Swift will be forever and always
forevermore.
I'm not even sorry.
I think it's on.